From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of August, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons will join us to discuss the agricultural cash grain market. Along the way, I'll update you on this morning's webinar hosted by Daryl Good and Scott Irwin, and we'll check out the weather forecast, too. That with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Do look us up online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. September corn up 4.25 at 326.5. December at 337, up 4. March at 347, up 3.5. And next year's July at 360, up 3.5 cents for the corn. September beans 24.75 higher. $10.23.75 the final trade. November $10.09.25, up 27.5. January up 26.25. $10.08.5 in the bean pit. The March up 25.25. May up 24, July up 22.75, and next year's November up 13 cents. Soft red winter wheat down a half at 422. July of next year down 6.75 at 475.25, and the hard red July at 473, a nickel lower. Live cattle futures 40 cents lower at 115.92.5. The feeders at 148.55 down 52.5, and lean hogs at $62.50. We're up $2.50. We're now joined by Pete Mann Hard at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago. Thanks for being with us, Pete.
Well, good afternoon, and happy to be here.
Hey, so we need to know, really, what is it that rallied the corn or the soybean market today? It held strong on Friday in the face of a record-sized crop, but I didn't imagine we'd ever get a 20-cent rally on a Monday following that kind of report.
Well, the report, remember, we were down 22 on that and came back to actually plus, but then closed only down 2. And then today we took off again to the upside. And I think bean oil, need lots of bean oil, and the oil from Asia is in short supply. And all of that was helping push prices higher, and that helped drag the corn higher.
Yeah, so part of it led in part, I suppose, by crude oil, too, which was up $1.28 at $45.77, taking some pressure off the marketplace as well.
Yep, the crude oil helping, outside markets helping, but big oil needs. U.S. is the cheapest on corn there is. We're very competitive on beans, and people are coming here. I think industry, after the report Friday, thought maybe, well, those numbers are pretty high. Maybe that's the highest we'll see. And then they also thought that the usage numbers weren't high enough, that we'll have more exports than what USDA had. And all of that helped push things higher Friday after those lows. And today it continued on.
Farmers that you talk to believe the numbers from USDA for corn. And I'm really wondering whether they think their soybeans are that good. And I suppose many of them telling us that they're really tall, but they're concerned about that.
Yeah, and we have some people thinking they'll have good crops, as good as 14. Around here where we're at, you take a 50-mile, 100-mile radius, I think the tours that have been out in the field with banks and farm managers are coming in the 220s to 230s and maybe a few in the 40s, not 50s and 60s and 70s like people thought. We do have a couple of guys up in northern Illinois that thought they would be as good as 14, but in general, our corn in this area is looking 20 to 50 less per bushel than the big 2014 crop, which was a record.
We did make note that the big changes really for this year from the 2014 crop, which is the one we're all comparing it to at this point, and I posted this into the website as well, came from John Newton, who works for American Farm Bureau Federation. I believe the number was 17 bushels better in Iowa from USDA and 28 in Minnesota for the corn. So those are big numbers, and those are the number one and number three. Four corn-producing states in the nation, they could really tip the scale, I suppose.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much to lose 2 to 3 bushel an acre. And going up 7 bushel per acre on one report was jolted the community.
Absolutely. What do you expect going forward for the rest of this week?
I expect us to kind of be sideways into where we maybe find out more about what's out there, but I think the belief is that it's not as good as USDA's numbers, and I think as a result of that, we could climb a little bit more. I think we could, once we do start harvesting and see what the real yields are, maybe go back towards the lows, but I think the lows could easily be in, and we're ready to start grinding the other way. Usage worldwide is huge, and we're getting more than our share of it.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you filling in today.
Have a great one.
That's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Let's take some time now to go through this morning's FarmDoc Daily webinar hosted by Daryl Good and Scott Irwin. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the webinar itself and some of the graphics that Scott and Daryl posted. You can find this online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu and download the PDF. Go through all of the graphics yourself. Tomorrow, there should be a video posted there on Tuesday as well. So this is from the FarmDoc Daily website. You're going to look for the webinars. It's a button up at the top of the page, and then you'll see the August 15th edition. They start the webinar out, roughly speaking, by saying, on Friday, USDA really did surprise the marketplace. However, the marketplace didn't react all that sharply to the numbers. However, the numbers themselves, the size of the crop production in the United States for both corn and soybeans was really large and much larger than the trade had expected. If you go back over the years, in fact, from 1996 forward, the corn number was outside of the range by 396 million bushels, and that was the largest outside of the market range that they had ever posted. The second largest was way back in 1996 when it was 339 million bushels below what the trade guess might have been. The residual number in the fourth quarter is the key, thanks Daryl Good. However, he says that's a really unknown number right now. He says if USDA is to reach the 5.2 billion bushels for the old crop expected to be used in the feed and residual number, they'll have to add some 649 million bushels of usage in this fourth quarter of the growing season. Now, a couple of other things that are really important. Daryl Good and Scott Irwin went through, they have a brand new supply and demand table, their own, that compares their updated numbers with the USDA numbers. I'll give you the bottom line on it. Remember, USDA's cash price is now $3.15 for the whole of the season. That's the coming season. And their expectation for the marketing year average for the crop you are about to harvest is actually $3.40. So a good, 25 cents higher from Daryl Good than from what USDA and Scott Irwin, that is, from what USDA has said. Now, they think that the carry in the market is pretty strong and that it's clearly a signal that you should store the crop. However, strong is a relative term here because really the carry in the market's only about 50% of full carry for the corn market at this time. Now, let's talk a little bit about soybeans. If you look back over the years, while the corn crop is a big crop this year in 2016, the soybean crop is considered a monster size crop. The only other crop that would be as large in comparison to the deviation from trend yield, frankly, would be the 1994 crop when it was 5.4 bushels over the trend. This year it's 3.9. And it's probably important to note that 2014, 15, and 16 were all outside of the average. They were 3.3, 3.4, and 3.9 above the trend yield. So something has changed. Either we've had really good soybean growing years, three of them in a row, or some technology has changed in the soybean market to make them yield better. The forecast for the production was also a surprise to the market, but not quite as big a surprise as the corn. USDA's number was about 119 million bushels more, says Daryl Good and Scott Irwin, than the trade had expected. And when you start to look at the numbers for the supply and demand figures from them, USDA said that this year they believe we will have a total production of 4.06 billion bushels. Daryl Good thinks, and Scott Irwin, 3.984. USDA's yield on the soybeans at 48.9, they think is a little rich. They believe that to be 48. And the ending stocks for soybeans, USDA said again, reminder, of 330 million bushels on Friday. Today, this 15th day of August, Daryl and Scott say 269 million bushels. And here's the season's average price. That's looking forward. USDA said on Friday, $9.10. And Daryl and Scott say $9.50. So there's a difference there. Now, given that $9.50 cost, or rather $9.50 price, they think the price of soybeans is going to be pretty flat over time. In fact, that it may actually go lower. And certainly the marketplace is not paying farmers to store any of their soybeans. So that's something to consider as you're making your marketing decisions and counting what you think you have in the field. And I suspect you might have a pretty good idea, especially given the rainfall that's falling across all of the Midwest or a good portion of the Midwest this week, as to the size of your soybean crop. A couple of other items I think you will find of interest. John Newton, who was an ag economist here at the U of I for a short time, now works for the American Farm Bureau Federation, also posted a couple of things into his Twitter feed, and they're up on our website at willag.org. I retweeted them in mine. There are two different graphics. The first one looks at the difference in the actual corn yields between 2014, the last really good year, and this year, 2016. USDA has Illinois at 200 this year. They had it at 200 in 2014. The big difference in the two states that really count, remember the order is Iowa produces the most, followed by Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Iowa is 19 bushels higher at the moment than they were in 2014, and Minnesota is 28 bushels higher, that according to the numbers from USDA and that John Newton compiled for us. And then one other thing, looking forward, the difference will be whether a big crop gets bigger or whether a big crop gets smaller. As it happens in 2014, the corn crop got bigger in September and October and then shrank into January. However, the soybean crop that year just continued to get bigger. So there are some of the things that you might want to consider. You can check out the willag.org website. Many of the graphics are already there, posted into my Twitter feed at willag.org, or you can go to the Farm Doc Daily website, look for the webinars, and you can listen to the whole of the webinar that Daryl Good and Scott Irwin hosted this morning. That won't be up probably until tomorrow, but right now you can go back and take a look at the PDF file, which contains all of the graphics from that hour long webinar. So find that at willag.org or on farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check now what's been happening in the cash grain segment. Amy Sage is here from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How did the folks there at the Andersons take the news on Friday morning at 11 o'clock? Let's hear about that first.
Well, 175.1 was most definitely higher than what we anticipated for a corn yield, that's for sure. So, which obviously we were not alone in that response given the close on Friday. I think there's a lot of questioning on what test weight should be used to configure that yield there and what actually might be out there. You know, I think obviously the trade was averaging a guess of 170.6, which I think most thought was pretty reasonable number. So 175.1 was a pretty big shock. We were looking for bean demand to be there, and I think we're seeing a little bit of that in the market today. After we had sold off, we had 10 or 11 days consecutively of soybean export sales being announced, so we were looking for that to improve as well. So Today, having a positive twist here, I think a lot of that has to do with having a strong technical close on Friday. Obviously, the rain was implying a little bit to most that we would be a little bit lower today. But we had a pleasant surprise of a little bit of green on the screen despite the rain that we're getting across the Midwest. So I think a lot of that had to do with technicals and maybe some of that soybean demand as well.
And just very quickly, spot month bids.
Yep, 325 on corn, 1014 on beans.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with the Ag Weather Forecast. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Let's check the weather forecast now with John Davis. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hi, John.
Well, hi, Todd. How are you?
I am very, very well, but a little on the wet side. And you know, the Illinois State Fair is going on. Agronomy Day is happening on Thursday here in Champaign-Urbana. And it looks like we'll have rain for at least a couple of those events.
Yeah, the tropical feed of moisture that is actually emanating from both the Gulf of Mexico and the Pacific is moving from southern and eastern Texas right through the Ohio Valley, including much of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. And that looks to continue right from now through the upcoming weekend. So a pretty wet week here across much of the central and eastern Midwest.
And how much rainfall do you suppose?
Well, for the state as a whole, average amounts will tend to be in the range of a half to 1 inch across most locations, but there will be a swath which right now looks to be central Illinois getting 1.5 to about 2.5. So the heavier totals definitely in the central areas of Illinois.
A cool down for the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, temperatures coming up here will tend to be pretty close to normal, a cool down for the weekend, along with some drier conditions on the weekend early next week, but nothing exceptionally cool, just a little bit below normal for this time of year.
Have you thought about September and October? Producers do not like wet falls in particular.
Well, I tell you, the way that the pattern has been here with the wetness that we've had, with very warm water temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean and in the Atlantic off the East Coast, that would tend to be a variable that would be on the wetter side here across portions, at least, of the central and eastern U.S. So it does look like that, at least in some areas, the wetness will continue.
And finally, turn your attention to the northeastern corner of China. Raise a lot of soybeans there. It's been dry. Will it stay that way?
No, it does look like they are going to get some pretty good rains coming through over the next week or 10 days. So those dry pockets, which have evolved over the last couple of weeks, look like they will be shrinking from now through the end of this month. So certainly better rains are on the way, and it looks like they will be in an improving situation during the final couple of weeks of August.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
You have a good day. That, of course, is John Davis. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon.